Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Vav. Today is the famous story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. We're learning today's Daf Le'ilu Nishmas Jack Star, Yaakov ben Shlomo, Morton Schwartz, Menachem Mendel ben Avigdor Halevi. All the chance we learn for, we should have an aliyah from our learning. So we begin. We'll start again from the two dots. We did a little bit yesterday, so we'll start again from the two dots that are about 7-8 lines up from the bottom of Nun Hei Omud Beis with the words Amar Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan taught us, what does the pasuk mean when it tells us a famous pasuk from Mishlei that says, Ashri Adam Mefachi Tomid, it's very good for a person to always be afraid. However, a person who has a hardened heart, he will end up coming to trouble. So what does that pasuk mean? So it's referring, Rav Yochanan says, to Akamsa uvar Kamsa Choruv Yerushalayim. It's referring to three stories. The first one is Akamsa and Bar Kamsa, who ended up destroying Yerushalayim, the Churban of the second base of Mikdash. It's also referring to Atarnagola uTarnagolta Choruv Tur Malka, because of a male and female chicken or rooster. So Har HaMelech, Tur Malka, was destroyed. And the third aspect is Ashaka de Rispak, because the side of a carriage, so Betar, Choruv Betar, Betar was destroyed. Now, the Tosos Rid and Tosos elsewhere say that these psukim, even though they are written down now, are referring to future events. Sometimes a pasuk that can be written down can actually refer to a past event. So there is Ein Mukdam U'Muchar Batorah. So these psukim from Mishlei, which are written by Shlomo HaMelech, are referring to these events. So, the first one, of course, is the famous story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. As I mentioned yesterday, the Marsha says that Kamsa was the father, Bar Kamsa was the son. And that is helpful in understanding this story. So, Akamsa Bar Kamsa Chor Yushalayim. Rashi just mentions that they both were Jewish people, Lavdavka, father and son. Because of the Maisa that we're about to learn about, a famous Maisa, so Yerushalayim was Nebuch destroyed, the base of English was destroyed, the second base of English was destroyed. Because Dao Gaba, the once was a certain person, the Rachme Kamsa, his good friend was Kamsa, Ubal Debave, but his enemy was Bar Kamsa. Again, the Marsha says that this was his son. Now, Abatsudasa, the person who's the protagonist in this story, he made a Suda, a wedding feast. And Amalei L'Shamish, he said to his Ashamish, Go and invite my good friend Kamsa, Zayil Aisili Kamsa, who's my good friend. However, Ozel Aisile Bar Kamsa, but instead he misheard him, or he, for whatever the reason, invited Bar Kamsa instead. Now, somewhat surprisingly, also Ashkei Dehavi Yosef, Bar Kamsa shows up. Now, the Marsha explains, since he was good friends with his father, the person was good friends with the father, so Bar Kamsa thought that maybe he wants to do tshuva, and he wants to make up with the son as well. So that's why Bar Kamsa showed up. Otherwise, very strange why Bar Kamsa would show up to this wedding, to this party, when he knows he's not good friends with the person who's making the party. In any event, he does show up, and he's found there by the person making the party. Oshko Ashrei Dehavi Yosef. And he sees him sitting over there. And Amalei, so the host, says to Bar Kamsa, what in the world are you doing here? Milchte, how gavra, bal debava. You are not my friend. You are bal debava, the how gavra. You are, in fact, my enemy. So, my bayis hocha, what in the world are you doing here? Come, puk, get up and get out of here. Amalei, Bar Kamsa says to him, hoel vasoi shavkon, since I've come here, no, let me stay ready. And listen, it won't cost you a penny. Don't embarrass me. Don't make a public spectacle by kicking me out. Let me stay. I'll pay for whatever I eat and drink. You won't be out a penny. And just don't embarrass me. The Ben Yoda asks a very interesting question over here. And he says, why is the story known as the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa? It should be known as the story of this protagonist, the one who's making the party, and Bar Kamsa, because they're the two main characters here. Kamsa's not even mentioned in the whole story. Just he was the friend of the guy making the party. So Ben Yoda says so beautifully. He says that he didn't protest. Kamsa should have protested and said, hey, listen, this is the way you're treating my son? That's not right. You shouldn't do this. And alternatively, he adds that you can see how much a simple word can make a difference. Instead of the word Kamsa, they said Bar Kamsa, and look, by not being careful with your words, a terrible tragedy could occur. In any event, the host says, no, Amalei, lo, you can't stay here. We're now in Nun Vav and Aleph. And Amalei, so Bar Kamsa said to him, okay, listen, I'll pay you for half the meal. I'll give you half the cost of this entire meal. Actually, somebody came up to you and said, listen, can I come to your wedding? I'll pay for half the wedding. So most people would say yes. But there was such hatred over here. There was such sinna, which of course is the reason why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So therefore, even though this Bar Kamtza offered to pay for half the meal, Amalei, lo. The host said, no way. Bar Kamtza goes one step further. Amalei, yibna loch demei kulas rudasech. I'll pay for the entire wedding. I'll pay for this entire party that you're making. Just don't embarrass me publicly. Don't kick me out of here. And nevertheless, the hatred was so intense, Amalei, lo. So the host said, no. And in fact, nakte biyode, he picked them up with his own hands. For okmei, he stood him up. The afkate, and he threw him out. Now, Bar Kamtza is very, very embarrassed. Here he is, a public spectacle. He was thrown out of this wedding. Omar, he goes and says, Hoel, since the Havu Yosef Rabbanu v'lo mochbe, the last rabbis at this meal, and none of them stepped up and said, hey, what are you doing? So it must be that they're happy with the way he was treated. Shema mino ko nichaluhu. The rabbis were happy with the way he was treated. Now, in fact, Ben Yosef says the rabbis didn't know what was going on, and that's why they didn't protest. Or alternatively, he suggests that this was exactly the problem. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a lot of chanifa. This host must have been an important guy, and none of the rabbis were willing to stand up to him. And that's another reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because of chanifa, because of this flattering of people that aren't good. Obviously, this host was not a nice person. And therefore, the rabbis, unfortunately, also are playing a role here by not speaking up. In any event, this Bar Kamtza says, I'm going to show them who's really going to be in trouble now. Ezel, I'm going to go, he said, Echol Behu Kurtza. This is an expression for saying Lashon Hara. Rashi brings down that this is Malshinos. He's going to be Meiser on the Jewish people. Be'malka, to the king, to the Caesar. So Ozel, he goes, and Amalei LeKesar, he goes and tells the Caesar, Mardu B'chai Yudai, the Jews have rebelled against you. Amalei, Caesar says, how do you know that? The Yama, who said so? Amalei, so Bar Kamtza says, I'll show you that they have rebelled against you. Go and send them a carbon and see if they go and bring it in their Beis HaMikdash. The halacha is the goyim can send carbonos to the Beis HaMikdash and we will accept them. The machlokis is to what types of carbonos. Some say only an ola, some say other carbonos as well. But in any event, go send them a carbon and see if the Jewish people will sacrifice it. If they sacrifice it, so then they're not rebelling against you. But if they say no to you, they're basically dissing you and saying, we're no longer going to serve you. And therefore, you'll see. So the Kesar says, yeah, good idea. Ozal, he goes, Shadar biyodei. But he sends this carbon in the hands of Bar Kamtza. He sends Egla Tulsa. In a number of places in the Gemara, we have this description of what Egla Tulsa is. Some suggest that it's the third born to the mother. That's an especially tasty animal. So the Kesar sent them a very nice animal. Others say it's the third mature. Others give a different answer, just a very nice type of an animal. In any event, he sends this nice carbon. At least he thinks it's a very nice carbon. And there was nothing wrong with it from his point of view. However, Bar Kamtza, as he brings his carbon to Yerushalayim from wherever the Kesar was, Shada be muma beniv svasai. He goes and makes a mum in the upper lip. Beniv svasai means the upper lip. The Ben Yehuda says that this is a reference to the Lashon Hara that was being spoken over here that caused all this trouble. So that's why specifically the lip. That's what the Marsha says rather. The Ben Yehuda says that it was Badavka, an eagle that was brought, that they brought also Shadide Igla Tilsa, because it's a reference to the Chayta Eagle, that there's always a punishment in Klai Yisrael for the Chayta Eagle and everything that we do. In any event, others say it wasn't a mum in the upper lip, like Rashi explains over here, that the Niv Sosayim is Sofa Yonah. Others say, the Gemara says, Amilor Bedukin Shabayin, he made some sort of a blemish in the eye. This is normally translated as a cataract. This is somewhat problematic, because how do you go make a cataract? So some say that he switched the animal around, and that's how the animal had a cataract in it, not that he made a cataract. Others say that this Dukin Shabayin is something else. It's another type of blemish in the pupil of the eye, and that you can do with your hands. In any event, this now had a mum according to our dinim, but didn't have a mum according to the dinim of the goyim. So, duchta delidan have a muma. In this situation, this was in a place, duchta is a place, that for us, for the Jewish people, is considered a mum. Either this upper lip blemish or the type of cataract or a mum in the eye would be for us a reason that an animal can't be brought because it has a mum. And Uladidhu, however, according to the Goyisha laws, so Ladbamu, they bring animals like this all the time in their sanctuaries or wherever they go and bring korbanos, they accept such an animal. So now, the Jewish people are in a dilemma. Savu Rabbanu Likrovit. Some of the rabbis said, let's go and bring this animal because Mishum Shalom Achos. If we don't, we know what's going to happen. Nebuch, they were 100% right that the Kesar would get very mad and send his legions to attack the Jewish people. So because of Ava, because of the concern that this would lead to hatred, so they said, we have a head to go and bring this carbon. The great Reb Zichai ben Avkolos, we'll talk about him in a moment, he said he can't do this. Because Yomru, you know what people are going to say? Bali Mumin Kraven, Lagabi Mizbeach. You know what? You can bring a Baal Mum. So we have to show them that you're not allowed to bring a Baal Mum. So therefore, we can't go and do this. No, they said, so let's go kill this Bar Kamtza. This Bar Kamtza is a Moser. He's going to cause terrible problems to the Jewish people. So we have the halachic right to go kill him. You're allowed to go kill somebody that's a Moser who's attacking all the Jewish people. So they said, let's go kill him. And this way he'll never report back to the case that we didn't bring the animal. And therefore, the Lolezer, the Lema, he won't be around. We'll kill him. So he won't be able to go back to the Kesar and tell him that we didn't offer the sacrifice. So again, Rav Zichai ben Avkolos speaks up. I'm Lord Rav Zichai ben Avkolos. Yaru made to mum because of Yaru. The people are going to mistakenly think, oh, this guy Bar Kamtza made a mum in a carbon, and therefore he was killed. So therefore, if you make a mum in a carbon, so therefore, you're Chai Misa, which is not the case. So therefore, they were stuck. Now, some suggest that Rav Zichai ben Avkolos was a Kohen, and he was just pointing out the problems over here, and he said, let's go send this to the Sanhedrin, let's go send this to the Gedolim, and see what the halacha is. Meanwhile, they didn't go and sacrifice the animal, and Bar Kamtza said, during this waiting period of time, see, I told you, they're not going to sacrifice the animals. Others explain that Rav Zichai ben Avkolos was the Gadol HaDor. He was such a great person, and therefore, he, in fact, should not have spoken up first. He should have, in fact, spoken up last. By Dine Misa, we know when the Sanhedrin is judging a capital crime, the lightest amongst them, the least important amongst them, speaks up first. So this way, he won't be swayed by what the greatest amongst them says. So if the greatest amongst them says that a guy is either found guilty or not to be found guilty, people are going to be afraid to go and disagree with the Gadol HaDor. So by Dine Mamanos, we let the Gadol speak up first. But by Dine Nefashos, by capital crimes, we always let the least important member, the most junior member of the Sanhedrin, speak up first, so he's not going to be swayed, and this way we'll make sure that if he, in fact, wants to say the guy is innocent, he won't be swayed by the older people, the greater people, saying he's guilty. But Rav Zichai ben Avkolos was such a anav, as the Gemara will tell us in a second, he was so humble, he said, I'm the least important over here. And therefore he said, we can't go and bring this carbon, but we can't go and kill him. And therefore, everybody else followed his opinion. And that's what Rav Yochanan tells us. I'm Rav Yochanan. What I just told you is from the Vilna Gaon. He said, because he was such an honor. I'm Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan tells us, and the sanuso, so Rav Zichai ben Avkolos, the humbleness, the, Rashi says, savlonus, the willingness over here to go and be solvo this incident and not go and kill this terrible person, Bar Kamtza, so that caused it caused the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the surface, Echleinu Nebuch, they burned down the Beis Hamikdash, and we went off into exile. So this is the famous story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Now, how did this cause the destruction? So the Gemara continues, says, Shadar Ilovayu Leniron Kesar. So again, the Girsi here is not exactly straight, the number of different interpretations, but they all say the bottom line is that somehow Bar Kamtza went and sent this notice that the Jews weren't bringing the carbon to Neron Caesar. According to most, is the Emperor Nero, the Caesar known as Nero. And he sent his troops, or he himself went, to go and attack Yerushalayim. Ki Kaasi, as assuming this was Nero himself who went, so Ki Kaasi, when he goes to Yerushalayim, he wants to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to let him go and conquer Yerushalayim. He was actually a mamin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we'll see in this story. And therefore, Shadosh Gira LeMizrach, he sent an arrow towards the east of Yerushalayim to see where it would land, and also north of Yerushalayim. And instead of going to the east of Yerushalayim, it went right onto Yerushalayim. As it was a siman for Shemayim, go and attack Yerushalayim, you're going to be successful. He then sent an arrow to Marav of Yerushalayim, to the west of Yerushalayim, and again, also north of Yerushalayim. And he continued to do this. He sent it to the south, he sent it to the north, the Abba Ruchos of Shemayim, also north of Yerushalayim. And each time he sent it in that direction, he sent it as well in all the four directions of the world, and each time it went towards Yerushalayim. So either he didn't send it directly towards Yerushalayim, he wasn't due north, south, east, or west Yerushalayim, or some suggest that he sent one directly towards Yerushalayim, and he tested Hashem, so to say. He said, if you don't want me to attack Yerushalayim, deflect the arrow. Don't let it go. But the arrow went straight to Yerushalayim. Others say that it was far enough away from Yerushalayim that the arrow couldn't reach Yerushalayim, and nevertheless, the Kosh Be'ez, and the arrow actually reached Yerushalayim. In any event, he sees over here that it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to go and attack Yerushalayim and wipe out Yerushalayim. He's still not convinced. Amalei Yelnuka Psokli Psukech. This is a very tried and trusted common way of trying to figure out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. You ask a young child to go tell you what he's learning, and it's a little bit of a nevuah in the young child, and what he's learning, what his pasuk is, can sometimes be used to divine what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So that's what he did. This Nero Kesa told the young kid, "No, what are you learning?" So the little boy told him, Amale, I'm learning over here a pasuk from Yecheskel, which says, Unasati esnik wasi the Edom, biyarami Yisrov gomer. I'm going to take out my vengeance against Edom because of what they did to the Jewish people. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ultimately punish Edom for destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Edom is Rome. And this child's pasuk from Yecheskel is meant to basically give a message that yes, you may be able to conquer Yerushalayim right now, however, you'll ultimately have to be paid back for this terrible thing that you're doing. Now, Amar, so Nero Kesa says to himself, listen, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kudsh Brichu, Boi Lecha Ruvei Beisei, Ubal Lecha Puri Yodei Ba'u Gavra, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have decided you want the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. You want Yerushalayim to be destroyed, and you want to exile the Jewish people to Rome. No, you want me, however, to be the one that will basically wipe your hands clean. Boi Lecha Puri Yodei Ba'u Gavra. And then you'll take it out on me. You have your desires, and you're going to basically use me as the foil. You're going to use me as the person that's going to carry out your wishes, and then you'll punish me. So he said, nothing doing. Arak, he ran away for Ozal, and he went v'igayer. And Nero Caesar, the great Roman Caesar Nero, became a goy ger tzedek. So the Nafak Minei Rabbi Meir, and who comes from him? None other than the great Rabbi Meir. So what happens next? Shadre Ilovayu, the Aspasianus Caesar. So the Romans send Aspasianus Caesar. Now, Nero's no longer around. Either Nero himself was originally going to attack them, or he had sent another general, but Nero had called him back. In any event, now they're sending Aspasianus Caesar to go and destroy Yerushalayim. Now, also, Tsar Allah, he goes and sieges Yerushalayim for Tlos Shnei, for 3 years. He's unsuccessful in breaking through, but he has him in the siege for 3 years. Hevu ba hanu Tloso atire, nachdimo menguryon, uven kalbo savua, uven tzitzis akesis. There were three great people that were able to go and support the Jewish people, even though they were under siege. These three great, rich people were nachdimo menguryon, ben kalbo savua, ben tzitzis akesis. The Gemara is going to tell us who they are right now. Nakdimo ben Gurion shenokto lochamo bavuro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu once made a nice, a famous story that we have in the Gemara in a couple of places, where Nakdimo ben Gurion went and borrowed a tremendous amount of water from some Roman, and he promised to pay him back because he needed the water for all the Jewish people to go up for the Shlosh Golem, and there was no water available. So what happened? He said, if you don't go and get all the water back for me by the end of the Yontif, so then I will go and pay you back. Instead of your wells filled with water, I'll fill them up with gold. No, it didn't rain, it didn't rain, it didn't rain. You can figure out that by the end of the Yontif, all the water in the wells was gone, and there wasn't a cloud of the sky, and this terrible Roman person says, aha, now you got to fill it up all with gold. And Nakdimo said, I still got time, it's not nightfall yet. He goes into the Beis HaMikdash around Mincha time, and he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, you know, I didn't do this for my own good. I did this for people who have water to go up to the Ola Regel. Please make it rain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it plachim. It starts to rain, it fills up all the wells, but it looks like it's after the day is over. And therefore, this Roman said, listen, I know God did this for you, but the day is over. Sorry, you didn't fill up the wells until the day was not yet done. And therefore, you still owe me all the gold. However, Nachdimo goes back inside the Beis HaMikdash. He davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, Shalom, it's still daytime. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a nace, and the clouds part, and all of a sudden, the sun is still out there. Either the sun had never set, and the clouds had just covered up and made it look like a night. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace, and he brought the sun back out for this a person, Nachdimo ben Gurion, and this Roman said, I know, therefore, that you are really a righteous person, and that's that story why he's called Nachdimo, because he made the sun pierce through the sky when it really either wasn't daytime anymore, or the clouds had covered up and made it look like night. So that's why he's called Nachdimo ben Gurion, because Nokto Chama Bahura. Then we have Ben Kavosavu. This is the father-in-law of Rabbi Akiva, his wife, Rabbi Akiva's wife, Rachel's father. And we know we've heard stories about him already recently as well. Shekala Nichlas Lebeso, Kishu Roiv Kikelev, Yotze Kishu Soveya. He was such a generous person that anybody came into his house hungry as a dog, the Badafka picked the dog because the dog is always hungry. The dog doesn't have a lot of things to feed upon, so therefore the dogs are always hungry. So anybody came in hungry like a dog, he nevertheless left the house of Kabbalah Savua fully satiated. He was perfectly filled up. That's how generous Kabbalah Savua was. And finally, the third person, Ben Tzitzis Akesis. So Rashi says his name was either something else that was known as Ben Tzitzis Akesis because Shoiso Tzitzoso Negres Agabe Kisosos, that his tzitzis were long and they were going to be on the ground. So he put out these pillows, these silken cushions or pillows, so that his tzitzis would never touch the ground. So he was known as Ben Tzitzis Akesis. Alternatively, Rashi says his name was Ben Tzitzis. He was known as Akesis because Ika Diamri, back to the Gemara, Shoiso Kisto Mutelis Ben Doli Romi, because his pillow, so to say, his place where he would be amongst the Senate, the Roman greats, because he was constantly going there to discuss things for the Jewish people on behalf of the Jewish people. So that's what he was known. His name was Ben Sitzes, and he was known as Hakesis, the guy that had his chair right next to the Caesar. In any event, these three people were fantabulously wealthy, and they were living in Yerushalayim. And they each said, Chadam Alehu, one of them said, we don't know which one said which, one of them said, I have enough food over here. I know Zayin Alehu, Bechite, Visari, I have enough food to keep us safe from the siege with wheat and with barley. Another one of them said, we don't know which one, Chadam Alehu, one said to the rabbis, I got enough food, B'dechamra, U'B'demilcha, U'mishcha. I have enough wine over here, enough salt, and enough oil to go and supply all the people in Yerushalayim that we can withstand the siege. And the third one said, "B'charam aluhu b'detzivi." I have lots of wood, and we'll be able to cook, and we'll be able to heat up things, and not have any problems because I have enough wood to go and support everybody. B'shabchu rabban l'detzivi. By the way, the board says the one who donated the wood was the best one of the three. They said because the Rav Chista had said. And had given kol akli they have a muscle of shame bar mi detzivi. He gave up all the keys to his possessions to one of his servants, the shame, one of his attendants, except for the key that was for the wood storage area, because he said damru chista akalba dechite. If you have a certain storage area of wheat, you have one storage area of wheat, you're going to need 60 times that. By shisim achluve detzive to go and bake all that wheat. So in other words, the wood was actually the most important one because you need so much wood. So he gave so much more than the others. In any event, they all were very, very generous people. And the Gemara tells us havalulamezim esrim chad shasa. They actually had enough of all of their things that they each had supplied. Each of them gave 21 years of supply. So the one who gave the wheat and the barley, the one who gave the wine, the salt, and the oil, the one who gave the wood, each of them gave 21 years worth of those possessions. So Kaisel could have stood this Roman siege for a period of time of 21 years. Mistama, the Romans would have gotten sick of this and again went away. Now, as I just said, there was enough there for 21 years to support them. However, there were these people over there. Rashi says these were baryonim. They were anosh rekim, empty people. And they were very, very anxious to go and fight the Romans. Now, they weren't listening to the rabbis. The rabbi said, don't fight the Romans. We're not going to win. Nevertheless, these young people said, hey, we can take on the Romans. And they were, unfortunately, totally wrong. So what did these baryonim do? The rabbi said to the baryonim, let us go. Let us go and make peace with the Romans. Because this way, at least, we won't be destroyed. The Basic English will continue and everything will be okay as best as possible. But these baryonim said, nothing doing. Lo shatkinu. We're not letting you get out of here. We're sieged inside. Now, we're not going to let anybody leave. We're going to withstand the siege and we're going to attack the Romans. So they wouldn't let the rabbis go and sue for peace with the Romans. Armulei, the baryonim said to the rabbis, let us go and fight. Nebuk v'navid krova badayu. Give us permission to go and fight against the Romans. We'll make a battle against them and we'll win. The rabbi said to them, you ain't going to be successful. You're not going to win. So don't do that. So what did the baryonim do? Kamu, they got up. Klanuhu, they burnt down. Mahanu Ambere Dechite Visari. So they went down and they burned down all of the storehouses over here of the wheat and of the sari, the barley, and with some of they burned down as well anything else that they needed to burn down. Mahava Kafna, and now as a result, there was a famine. And now the Jewish people are stuck. Now to show you how bad the famine was, so Marta Bas Baisus. This woman, known as Martha Basbaisus, we mentioned her elsewhere. Her husband became the Kohen Gadol, so she was very, very wealthy. Atirta de Yerushalayim Havya. She was, in fact, the wealthiest person in Yerushalayim, or at least the wealthiest woman in Yerushalayim. Mistaba, the three men that we mentioned were more wealthy than her. So in any event, Shadrisa Lishlucha, she sent out her servant, Barmulay, and said to him, listen, go buy us some food. Zil Aisili Smida, go and get me Smida. Smida is solus, which is the most fine flour. No, the servant went out. At the Ozal, however, when he went out, his dabit, all of it had been sold. He comes back and he tells her, also, Amalos, Smida Lekka, however, Chirisa Ika, there is no refined flour, but no, there's white flour. No, it's not as good, but we can go get the white flour. Okay, Amalek, she says, fine, Zil Isley, go and bring me back some of the white flour. Rashi says it wasn't necessarily flour, it was pasta nakia, it had been baked already into bread, and go bring me that. In any event, she tells him to go and get that. And Omerle, Zil Isi, fine, go bring it to me. Zil Isi Lee. No, Ada Ozal, by the time he goes, is that all the white flour, the white bread, had been sold. So also the Allah, Khirisalakha, Gushkara Ika. He says, okay, he comes back to me and says, listen, there's no more of this white flour, this white bread around, but at least there's still Gushkara. Rashi has a foreign language word for Gushkara, which means paskibra, which is like a coarse bread, which is like whole grain bread with all of the solace as well as the bran and the coarse stuff all mixed together. Okay. Our relation says, go, Zilai says, go bring that for me at least. I'm hungry. At the Ozel, by the time he went to the market to go get that, it's not, and that also had been sold. And also the Amrullah, he comes back to him and he tells him, Gushkur Lekka, this coarse bread is not around, this whole wheat bread is not around. Kimcha the Sari Ika. However, there's still at least some barley flour. That's like the lowest level of flour that's there. No, I could get that. Amalei says, fine, I'm starving. Zil icily, go and bring that. No, by the time he goes to that, as you can figure it out, Adazel is Dabit. He goes for that and it's also sold. There's nothing left. The markets are empty. Now, he comes back and tells her, and she says, I'm gonna go out and see for myself what's out there. So the Gemara tells us, have a shlifa misana. She goes out without shoes on. I'm not sure why she went out without shoes on. She was in such a hurry, she was so hungry, and anyway, she's not wearing shoes. And she says, Epok ve'achazeh, I will myself go out and see. I'm starving. My servant wasn't able to find anything new. Maybe I, going out there, can find something. While she goes out there barefoot, Esimlo Parta, she goes and steps in Parta. Rashi tells us this is perish shogiloli behavior. She steps into the excrement, the dung of an animal. Now, she was a very, very fancy, rich lady, and this caused a tremendous discomfort. It gets on her foot. Esimlo Parta Bekara, she steps into the dung with her foot, Umesa, and she dies. Rashi says, Machmas Istinisusa, because she's such an Istin, and she's such a high-standing lady that she never, ever had come into contact with such dung, so this caused her to die. And Kari Allah, Rabbi Yochanan Zaki said about her, Haraka B'chol, the famous passage that says, even the most istinous amongst you, the weakest amongst you, Vanuga, the ones that are most pampered, so Ashalo Nisisa Kafragla, they never had their foot touch the ground. This woman was such a high, fancy society lady that she never did any of this type of work, and therefore when she got her foot into the dung, she was so repulsed by it, it was so revulsive to her, that she ended up dying. That's the first version. Alternatively, Yigad Yamre, Grogros to Rabbi Tzadok Ochlo, Nistanisa Umesa. Other version has it that she ate the Grogros of Rabbi Tzadok. Grogros are the dried figs that Rabbi Tzadok had sucked out the juice from them, and they were dried up figs, and because, again, she was such an Istanis, that she died when she ate that. Now, what's this story about the dried figs of Rabbi Tzadok? So where it tells us, Rabbi Tzadok was a great Gadol HaDor, so a fantastically great person, and he saw the end was coming, 40 years before the end of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so he saw it was coming, and Yosef Arba in Shtin B'Tanisa, he fasted for 40 years in order to try to prevent this terrible destruction from occurring. The low lechor Yushlaim, that Yushlaim should be destroyed, they said it should be destroyed. Ki Avi Ochel, when he did break his fast every day, he had to eat something, so when he would break his fast, his stomach had shrunk so much, have a mischaze me'avroi. You could see whatever he ate from the outside, it was so thin, he was so emaciated, you could almost see like the food going down his throat. The Ki Avi Barbi, when he would go and eat something after the fast, so he couldn't eat normally. So my silly growers, they brought him these dried figs, and he couldn't even eat them. Mayitz, Mayhu, he would go suck out the juices, whatever was left in these dried figs, Vishadilu, and then he would throw them away because he couldn't even eat them, so he threw them away. Nobody else would eat them, obviously. And those are the figs that Marsa Basbaisus had found and eaten, and it disgusted her so much that she died. Okay. In any event, as Marsa Basbaisus is dying, Kiavakonicha Navsha, as she is dying, Afikta, she goes and takes out l'chol da'avo v'chasvo, all of her gold and silver, and she throws it on the street. Shadisei v'shuka, she throws it out into the street, into the market, and she says, Amra, hi, l'mai mi boili, I don't need this. What is this good for? It does nothing for me. And this is, unfortunately, a fulfillment of the nevuah from the pasuk, behind the chsib. As the pasuk in Yechezkel tells us, kaspo v'chutzo sheshlicha, they're going to throw away the money, because they're going to have no need for it, because Nebuch, they're going to be so destitute that the money won't help them, they're going to be so impoverished that there's no food around, there'll be such a famine that money won't help them. Now, back to the story with the Baryonim. So they burned down everything, and now what's going to be? Everybody's starving. It's terrible inside. So Abba Sikra, who was the head of the Baryonim, Abba Sikra raised Baryone Yerushalayim. He was the leader of these militants, these young people who were Rakim, and he was in charge of them, but he was also Bar Asi. He was the nephew through the sister of Rav Yochanan Zakei Hava. So Rav Yochanan Zakei's sister was his mother. So Rav Yochanan Zakei knew him, And he shalach lei sends to him and tells him, Toa bitzim ha'ligabay, come to me in private. Don't let anybody know you're coming. Obviously, if there was collusion between them, he would be in a lot of trouble. So therefore, Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, tells his nephew when he gets there, Ad emas avdisu hofi, how much longer are you going to do what you're doing? The Jewish people are dying of famine, and you're never going to be successful against the Romans. Let's sue for peace. So, everybody's dying over here from outright no food, from starvation. So how much longer are you going to keep it up? So Amalei, so Abba Sikri says to him, no, I don't have a choice. My Yovid, the Amina Lu, Vidi, Kotli. I have no choice in this matter anymore. I can't do anything about it. Things have gone so far that if I were to tell the Bar Yonim, let's give up, let's go and surrender, they're going to kill me. So I can't help you. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says to him, yes, you can. Chazi li takanto lididi de epok. At least find for me a way that I can get out of the city. Once I get out of the city, because the Bar Yonim wouldn't let anybody out of the city, I'll go talk to the Romans and I'll make everything okay, or as best as possible. That's all a porta, as we'll see, at least a little bit of a salvation. No, Efshar, the Havali, that's all a porta. As he says, maybe I'll be able to at least save something. The base of things is going to be destroyed. We're going to go into Golos, but at least I'll be able to go and save something. Fine. Amalei Abizikra tells him, Nekot nafshoch bekitzire. I have a good idea. Go and dress yourself up as if you're sick. In other words, hold out to everybody that you're not feeling well and that you're sick. And therefore, everybody will understand when you ultimately fake your death that, yes, you were sick. And therefore, it will look like it's just a fulfillment of the natural events that the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is, in fact, sick and dying. No, everybody's going to ask how the Golan Dor is doing. Everybody's going to come and ask how you're doing. And they'll tell him that you're not doing well. Meanwhile, as well, people come and visit you. The icy midday sarya, go bring something that has a very bad odor to it. The agne gaboch, and put it next to you. And as a result, people are going to smell the smell of death, so to say, and they're going to realize that you, in fact, are on your deathbed, and then ultimately that you have died. As Rashi says, "Vagani gaboch bashkei b'mitoscho, lie down in your bed with you." Shiyomru meisu umasriach kvar, and the smell is from your decaying body, and therefore you have to be buried. Now they weren't allowed to bury in Yerushalayim, so for this was somehow they had an arrangement they would be allowed to go outside. Either they snuck outside with the permission of the Bar Yonim, or the Romans would let them go and bury. Whatever it was, this way he would be able to leave the city. So tell everybody, people will know now that you're dead, and make sure that only your Tamidim carry you. We'll see if Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, your Tamidim will carry you out, because don't let anybody else carry your beer, B-I-E-R, because in that situation they'll realize that you're not dead, because there's something called dead weight. A dead person seems to weigh more than a live person, because a live person moves about, it shifts around, so it doesn't seem as heavy. Because everybody knows that a live person seems to weigh less than a dead person. If your body doesn't feel so heavy, they're going to suspect something. So they follow this plan from Abba Sikra, Ovid Hochi. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai did exactly as Abba Sikra suggested. And Nichnas Bo Rabbi Elazar Mitzad Echad, Rabbi Yeshua Mitzad Acher. And they fake his death. And Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, his two great Talmidim, go and carry him out. And when they get to the guards, that they want to go and bury him outside Yerushalayim, Kimatu Lepischa, when they get to the gate to go outside, Bo Lemitkere. So the guards want to go and check to see if he's really dead. So what does it mean, Bo Lemitkere? So Rashi says, they wanted to check him out by sticking a spear into him, Biramochim. They would stick a sword into him, Shema Marimu, because they suspected something may be up over here. So they wanted to go and pierce him, then he really would be dead. So Abba Sikra is there, and he saves the day. Amalu, Abba Sikra tells the guards, listen, Yomru, Rabban, Dokru, they're going to take him outside, all pierced, they're going to say, hey, listen, this guy didn't die a natural death, they killed the Roman rabbi, that'd be Chil Hashem. Now, these Bar Yonim were concerned about a Chil Hashem. Bolu Midcham, he says, let's at least bang him up a little bit to see if he would cry, if he would yell out. So let's go and do that at least. So Rashi says, well, like Yitzhak, maybe he'll go and cry out. So look, again, Abba Sikra saves the day, and he says, Yomru, Rabban, Dachafu, either they were watching, they would see them hitting the coffin or hitting the dead body, or what was appeared to them to be the dead body. So again, it'd be a Chil Hashem. So they finally let him out. Abba Sikra convinced them to let him out without doing anything to it. Pasulei Baba and Nafak. So they opened up the gate, and they let him out. He gets out. Once they look like they're gone, so he goes, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai goes, and he runs to the Roman camp. And he goes to the general. When he gets over there, Omar, he goes to the Vespasian, Aspasianus, who was the leader of the camp, and he says, Omar, he says to him, Shlomo Aloch Malka, Shlomo Aloch Malka. You repeat things twice to show it's very important. So he said, peace be unto you, O great king, peace be unto you, O great king. Now, Asasanis is intrigued by this, and he says, Amalai, Michaivis Trey Tala. You'd be chayv bisa twice for saying this to me. Number one, chodod la malkana, because I'm not really the king. Because the malkin, you call me the king, that's treason essentially, and therefore you chayv bisa. And number two, the su, I malkana, if I in fact am the king, so what took you so long to come here? Ad idna, until now, am I lo osis the gabbai? Why did you come before him? If you recognize that I'm the king, so you should come sooner. So Amalei Rechav Zaki tells Asasyanis, and he says, "The Amis La Malkana, that which you say that you're not the king isn't true." As we turn to Nun Vav Amud Beis, because Ivra, it's absolutely true. Ivra means it's true. In fact, Malka At is why she says, "Melech Ata Osilios." You are about to be crowned the king. You don't know it yet, but you're about to be crowned the king. Because Dila Malka, and I know that this is for a fact going to be true, because if you weren't the king, there's no way that Yerushalayim would be handed over to you. Lo Mimsura Yerushalayim Yodach. We're obviously losing the battle over here, and you can only win if you're the king, because the Pasuk tells us, Yosef, the Pasuk of Yeshaya, Bahalavonon, Lavonon Rashi tells us, is the name of Yerushalayim, it's the Beis HaMikdash, Shemal bin Avonosem Shal Yisrael, it's called Lavonon, the things that whitens the Jewish people's sins by bringing korbanos. But Adir Yipol will only fall in the hands of a king. Now, Ein Adir El Melech, an Adir is a king, it means the strong one, and we know this because they'll say, Vaya Adiro Mimeno Vagomer, because the Pasuk tells us in Yirmiyahu, it says, Vaya Adiro Mimeno Vagomer, and the one who is the strongest amongst them, he should be the one that will conquer you. They Levanon El Beis HaMikdash. The Levanon is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, as the Pasuk tells us, that Hahar Hatov Hazeh Vahalavanon. So the Pasuk in Chumash tells us that the area of the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as the Levanon, which is the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the only way we'll be destroyed is by a king. And therefore, you must be the king since you're about to destroy Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. So, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai continues and he tells him, Uduka Amris, Imaukano, Amailu Koasis, Legaboy Aridna. And your second question, that if I really was the king, why didn't you come sooner? So I wasn't able to. Baryone, these young militants, the Izban that are amongst us, Lo Shavkino, they didn't let me come out and sue for peace and try to make a pshara over here with you to compromise with you that you don't destroy Yerushalayim. So Amalei, so Asasana says to Yochanan ben Zakkai, let me ask you, Ilu Chavish Shel Dvash, if you had a barrel of honey, Vidarkon, a snake, Karuch Ole, was wrapped around it, what would you do? The snake is going to kill people, so what would you do? You'd sacrifice the barrel, and you'd go and kill the snake. Lo Yushovrin is Chavis Bishul Darkon, wouldn't you go and break the honey barrel over here, so the snake will run away? So that's what you should have done as well. You should have knocked down the walls of the city, so we could come in and make the snake go away. We would have taken care of the Bar Yonim. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai did not have an answer to that. Ishtik, he was silent. And because he didn't answer, Kari Alei Rav Yosef, Yitema Rabbi Akiva, either Rav Yosef or Rabbi Akiva said about this, this is a fulfillment of the Pasuk from Yeshayahu, where it says, Meishiv Chachamim Ochar, V'dayitam Yisakel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes lets even the wisest of people, like Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, have, unfortunately, not have smart thoughts, make their thoughts Yisakel, to be foolish. Because he had a good answer. He should have said to Asasyanis, Iboy Lele Memerle, he should have told him, Shaklinon Suvasa, the proper way to get rid of the snake in that situation is to go take a pair of tongs, Vishaklinon Lele Darkon, and pick up the Darkon with the tongs, Vikatlinon Lele, and go and kill it, and this way, Vichavisa Shakinola, and you'd still have the barrel. So what we should have done, and that's what we were waiting for, was an opportunity to go and kill the Baryonim, and then we would go and still save the city. That's what he should have answered, but he didn't. Hashem made him not have a good answer. In any event, while Asasyanis and Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai are talking, along comes a messenger from Rome. Adahachi osi peristika alei miromi. Suddenly, a messenger comes from Rome, from the Senate, and tells them, Amalei, come, stand up. The mislei kesa, because the Caesar has died. The Amre hanu chashivi the Romi in the Senate, the leaders of Rome said, Leosivach bereisha, that you should be the new Caesar. Maran Avadazar tells us that they used to appoint the Caesars with the Senate. It wasn't automatically handed down from father to son. They would go and appoint them. In any event, that's what happened over here. Asasyanis, you've been named the new Caesar. No. When he hears this news, he was happening in the middle of getting dressed. He had one shoe on. He was about to put the other shoe on. Habesayim Chavisani, he had one shoe on. Ubal and Nisayim Aliachrini, he was about to put on the second shoe. Mawail, it didn't fit anymore. His leg had swollen, and he couldn't get the second shoe on. By the Mishnah for Ali, Dosh says, okay, I'll take off the other shoe, I'll put on a different pair of shoes, or I walk barefoot, lo nafak. He wasn't able to take off the pair that was already on. So he didn't understand what's going on. So he says to Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, what's going on over here? Oh, my high. What's happening with me? So Amalei, Rav Yochanan tells him, don't worry. Lo titzdar. Don't be upset about this. Shmua tova asyoloch. And you had good news over here, and therefore your body swelled up. Tichsiv, as based upon the pasuk that we have in Mishle, that it tells us, Shmua Tova, Tadshen Otzem. If you have good news, it will Tidashen Otzem, it will make your bones swell. Nu. So Asbizana says, Nu, how can I handle this? Elamaita Kante, how do I go and fix this? So Yochanan Mizrachi tells him, Leisi Inish, go bring in front of you a person, the lo misyafta daituch mine, that you don't like so much, that you're not pleased when you see him, the lachliv kavoch, and let him pass in front of you, and that will make you upset, and that will make your swelling go down. Tichsiv, as a pasuk later in Mishlei tells us, the ruach necheya, when you have a bad spirit come upon you, the yabesh garam, it will cause your bones to dry up. In other words, the swelling will go down, and that's exactly what Asbizanis did. Ovid hochi ayil, a person came in front of him who he didn't like, his swelling went down, he was able to go and take off his other shoe, or mistamah to put on the first shoe. In any event, he's very impressed with Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So Amalei, umiyachad dechach mitu kuliyah, you're obviously a very, very smart person. Why didn't you come sooner? Why didn't you come sooner? So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai tells him, I already told you that. Below Amri Loch, haven't I told you that the Baryonim didn't let me? So Amalei, and Asbizanis says back to him, no, ano anami Amri Loch. I also told you, you should have done what I said with the snake. You should have gone and broken the city walls down so we could kill the snake. So Amalei, in any event, Asbizanis tells him, Mezal Azilno, I have to go now back to Rome, and I'm going to go send another person, a new general, to take my place. No, before I go, I want to thank you for your good tidings. Ask for me something, and I'll give it to you. Now, Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai tells him three things. Ten li Yavne v'chachameh, the famous statement, he says, let Yavne, the city Yavne, and all the chacham who lived in, the Sanhedrin was located over there, save them, don't attack that town, let them live. Furthermore, Vishoshulto, the Rabbi Gamliel, and let the lineage of Rabbi Gamliel, the family of Rabbi Gamliel, continue. In other words, don't wipe them out. He was the Nasi, so you might have thought that they would wipe him out. He says, please don't wipe out the lineage of Rabbi Gamliel, who came straight from David HaMelech. And therefore, the Malchus of Beis David would still continue. And the third thing he asked was for a doctor. The Asfasa, the Messiah and Lei, Rabbi Tzadok. Give us a doctor that will know how to cure Tzadok. The great Tzadok, who was so emaciated from the 40 years of fasting, give us a doctor that can cure him. See, these are the three things that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai asked for. Notice he didn't say, please save Yerushalayim. So again, Kari Alei Rabbi Yosef, Yitam Rabbi Akiva, either Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Akiva said the same passage we had before, Meishim Chacham Mochar V'dayit Misaka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes takes away the wisdom from the very small people and makes them foolish. Because, you know what he should have said? He should have pleaded for Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Please give us one more chance. Don't destroy Yerushalayim now, give us one more chance. That's what he should have said. In fact, I believe the Yerushalmi says that he actually answered that, and Asusana said no. Over here in the Babli, Rashi says that he was afraid to answer that because he said, maybe he's going to say no, and then he won't give me the other three things. Let me at least get the Hatzolah Purta that he mentioned before, so he'll save at least the lineage of Chayis, or the Sanhedrin, and Malchus Beis David, which will get them through history and go on further, even if the Beis HaMikdash Nebuch is destroyed. Now, that's what the Gemara says. So, the Gemara tells us, and that's exactly what he thought, as I mentioned, that if he had asked for everything, he'd get nothing. So therefore he said, I'll ask for just that Hatzolah Purta, these three little things, maybe Asasanis will give me that, even though he won't give me the saving of Yerushalayim. No, he did in fact get Yavne, he did in fact get the lineage of Rabbi Gamliel to not be erased, and in fact, he also got the doctor to go and treat Rabbi Tzadok. So, what did the doctor do? Asvasa, the Messiah, Leila Rabbi Tzadok, Mahi, what was the doctor's cure for Rabbi Tzadok? So, Nebuch, we saw this in the Holocaust. We had people that were emaciated. You see people in this situation, if you feed them, so they're going to run into trouble. You have to go very, very slowly, very gradually up their caloric intake, and this way their stomach can tolerate the feedings. So, Yom HaKama, on the first day, the doctor fed him Ashkuya Maya Dapari. He gave him this Mayim Depari. What is Mayim Depari? So Rashi says, Mayim Shenishoru Behen Subin. This was water that had been soaked in a little bit of bran, so it had a little bit of nutrition inside of it. The water he was able to tolerate, and with a little bit of nutrition, he got a little bit stronger. So the first day, they gave him this Mayim Depari. L'machar Mayim Desipuka. The next day, they gave him Mayim Desipuka. Rashi says, Subin Gatsa. This was a little bit more nutritious. It had a bigger bran inside of it, and a little bit of flour, but Kemach Muru Behen. So a little bit more nutritious. They upped the caloric content, and they kept on doing this. L'machar Mayim Dekimcha. The next day, they gave him water that had flour in it. Again, more nutritious, more nutritional value, more caloric content, ad the rovach mei, until the stomach widened, purta a little bit. So his stomach got bigger and bigger. He's able to go and tolerate the food until they were able to save his life. Now, what happened meanwhile? Azal shadri l'titus. So Asasianus has made the new Caesar, and he sends as his general Titus of Russia, Titus. So he sends Titus to go and wage war against Yerushalayim. Now, the pasuk says, "Omar I Eloheimo tzucha sayubo." So the pasuk that says the people will ask, "Where is your God? Where is this strong God, this sword, this rock that you have been relying upon?" Who is the one that said this? This pasuk that's from Chumash, so that Titus or Russia. It's referring to what Titus would say. Shecheref, the Gidev, Chapimal, he did all sorts of terrible things. He said all sorts of terrible things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He blasphemed against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was Mechayiv, the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did he do? Me'asa. So he went and he grabbed, when he destroyed Yerushalayim and started to burn down the Beis HaMikdash, Tofas Zona Biyodo. He grabbed the Zona to do a horrible aver inside the Lufnai, the Lufnim on the Sefer Torah, as we'll see in a second. Ben Yodo points out that even the Zona didn't want to do this. He had to grab the Zona. Tofas Zona Biyodo. Because even the Zona realizes it's a horrible thing that you're doing. He goes inside Lufnai, Lufnim into the Kodesh Kadoshim. The Tziya Sefer Torah, Nebuch, Rechmona, it's so hard to say this. He spread out a Sefer Torah there, and Ovar Aleh Avera, and Nebuch committed a horrible Avera with the Zona over there inside the Holy of Holies on the Sefer Torah. He had Znus with this Zona. Then he took a sword, the Gidir as a Parochas, and he stabbed the Parochas. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Nes, the Nas a Nes, and Bohoyodam, Vatzvetz Yosef, his blood spilled out of the pierced Parochas, the curtain, the parochas that was there, blood seemed to come out from there. Tosa says over here, Lodia, the cautiously amokom churban mitzvah mikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this to show how kaviyachal it was difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tolerate this. We'll see later on. The Gemara says that a strong HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he did tolerate this because it's very easy to fight back. It's much harder to not fight back. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted at this point in time, that they should destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So that's his gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he made the parochas bleed. And this Rosh Atita says, Ukasavar, he thought, Harig as Atzmo, he thought he killed himself. Now, this is a euphemism. He thought he killed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, Rechmon Litzlan, to even say such a thing. So he thought that's what he did. Shenema, as the pasuk says, this is a pasuk we have in Tehillim, that your enemies of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, cried out in the Moed, which means the meeting place, in other words, the base of Migdash, and they placed their oaths over there, Samu Oso Sam, Osos. They made this oath as if they killed you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Abachanan Omer, Abachanan said, Micha Mocha Chasin Ka. So this apostle goes on and tells him, it says, who is as strong as you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're able to not go and kill Titus on the spot? Right. If somebody insulted us, we would want to fight back right away. It takes a tremendous amount of restraint, a tremendous amount of strength. Ezo Gibar, HaKovesh is Yitzhar, somebody who is Kovesh is Yitzhar. So you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are unbelievably strong that you are Kovesh is Yitzhar. Shata Shomeya, Niyutso, Vigidufa Shalosa Russia, you heard all the horrible things that this Russia said, Vishosik, and yet you were silent. That takes tremendous gevura. Similarly, the Beis Rabbi Shmuel taught it, and the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, they learned the pasuk that says Micha Mocha Ba'elim Hashem from Oz Yashir. So the word Ba'elim is spelled without a yud; should have a yud in there. So it's spelled without the yud, and this is a play on the word Micha Mocha Ba'elim, who is like you amongst the silent. In other words, you stood silently while he said all this terrible giduk, this blasphemy, and yet you took it silently. Knew what happened next. Ma'aso, what does Titus do? He takes Nautilus the Parochas, he grabs the Parochas, Vaso Kibin Gargusti. He makes it into a big, like, sack to go and carry everything. Gargusti is like a big sack that the wine merchants used to make. So he makes the Parochas into a big sack to go take all the precious things from the Beis HaMikdash. V'hevi kol kelim shel HaMikdash v'nichon bohen. And he puts all the precious utensils from the Beis HaMikdash, the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Parochas. Voshivan Bisvino, and he goes and puts him in a boat, Lelech Lishtabeach Biro, and to go and be praised that he's the great conquering general who brought back all the booty from Yerushalayim. As the Pasuk says, Shenamar, this is the Pasuk that we have in Koheles, where it tells us, Uvachain, Raisi Rishoyim Kivurim Vavau, I saw these Rishoyim who are buried. We'll see in a moment what that means, that come. Umimakom kadosh aleichu, and they're coming from a holy place. Vishtaklu v'yir asher kenasu, but they'll eventually be forgotten from the city that they Nebuch destroyed from Yerushalayim. That's what Koheles is telling us. But now we're going to play on those words. Al tikre kivurim elo kivutzim. Don't read the word kivurim, buried, elo kivutzim, gathered. And al tikre vishtaklu elo vishtabchu. Don't read as they were forgotten, but read as they were praised. In other words, this pasuk is referring to what Titus did when he came back from Yerushalayim with his sack full of all of the precious utensils, the kelim from the Beis Hamikdash, Nebuch, Rachmanu Litzlan. Alternatively, Ika D'Amre, Kavur means Kavur Mamish. It means things that were buried. But what is it referring to? Dafilu Mili D'Mitmaron Igayilaho. Even things that were buried. In other words, the treasures that were beneath the Beis Hamikdash, they revealed to him and he brought them back to Rome. Mark continues, says, "Oh my love, Nachshol Shabi Yamatova." He's on the boat, and all of a sudden, a tsunami comes and is about to sink the boat. So Amar, so Titus Arusha says, "Kimedumani." It appears to me that their God Shelokayim Shelelu ain't Kuroso Elabamayim. He only has strength in the water. He has no strength in the land. But Paro, he was able to destroy Paro, Tivo Bayam. He drowned all the Mitzrayim in the Yam. Likewise, Bo Sisro, since Sisro attacked Klai Yisrael, he also drowned them in Nachal Kishon, Tivo Bayam. So he killed them with water. So he has no power except in water. Afu, now he couldn't defeat me in Yerushalayim. Now I'm in the water. So Afu made a lie to Tovaini B'mayim. He's going to kill me in the water. So in Gibaru, so Titus calls out to Goshmach, if you're really strong, Yali Yabash, let me reach the dry land. Yasi mi Mulchom, make a fight with me over there and see if you can defeat me. So Goshmach laughs at him. Yotze Basko, Yomlo. So Basko comes out for Shemayim and says to Titus of Russia, Russia, Ben Benoshel, Esel of Russia. You are a descendant of all these Rishon. Your father's a Russia. You're a descendant of Esel of Russia. Birya Kala, Yeshli Biolomi, Vitushma. I have a small little creature known as the Yitush that I created. Let's see you go and fight him. You want to fight me? Fight my smallest little creature. Now, am I called Birya Kala? Why was it called the little creature? Because the Ma'alna Isla. Umafkana Lesla. It has a mouth to take in food, but it doesn't have an anal canal, doesn't have an exit for the food to go out of the body. The stomach went out the mouth. It comes in the mouth, comes out the mouth. In any event, that's a very small little creature. No, HaKadosh Baruch says, I will let you come up to the land. Aleli Abasha, go up out of your boat, reach Rome, go to your dry land. See if you can even fight my littlest creature. Never mind fight me. So Titus gets off the boat when they reach Rome, all the Abasha, and this little Yitush comes, this little gnat comes, boy Yitush, enters into his nose, and goes and burrows into his head, goes through his nose, doesn't make him into a trefa, and therefore he's able to live for 7 years because it goes through the membranes in the top of the nose, which go right up into the brain, and he's eating away his brain for 7 years, this little Yitush. Yom Echad is causing tremendous pain. Yom Echad, one day while Titus is walking by a blacksmith, he's walking by the entrance to the door of a blacksmith, and Shoma called Arzavta, and he hears the call of the hammer banging on the anvil, and Ishtik, all of a sudden this Yitush, which has been driving him crazy, stops driving him crazy for a moment. Oh, Titus says, oh my, Iko Takanta, I finally found the cure. I'm able to go and have a blacksmith come and bang on a hammer on the anvil, and that will stop this Yitush from driving me nuts. Koyoma, so every day he hired somebody, Maisu Navcha, he hired a blacksmith, Umochu Kameh, to bang the hammer on the anvil in Titus's presence, and this way the Yitush would stop gnawing at his brain. So, Anochri, they would come, he would hire a Gaisha blacksmith, Yogle Arba Zuz, he would give him 4 Zuz. Yisrael, if a Yid were to be the blacksmith, Amalei, I'm not paying you anything. Mistayach, it's enough. The Kochazis Pesanach, it's enough that you should see me in this terrible condition. That's your payment. No, for 30 days this worked. At plus, in Yomim Avet Hachi, this worked for 30 days. However, the Yitush got used to it. Mikam Eilach, Kivan the Dosh, the Yitush no longer was bothered by the sounds of this hammer banging on the anvil. As Rashi says, Mishihir Gila Yitush, she got used to it. Veloma, Bekola Karnas, Hikirbo, Velo Hiniach Nikura. He wasn't disturbed by it, and he kept on gnawing at the brain of Titus Arusha. Tanya, you learn the Baisa Amr Pichus Ben Aruva. Pichus Ben Aruva is not a very well known Tana, but he said, Ani Ayisi Ben Gedoli Roman. I was amongst the Romans at the time of Titus's death. Ukshemes, when he died, they did an autopsy. Patsu es Mocho, they opened up his brain. Umatsu Bo Kitsipor drawer, and they found inside his brain this Yitush had grown to the size of like a wild bird. Mishkal Shnei Slum, that weighed 2 slum, a certain amount of weight. In the Brisa, they learned a little bit differently. Masnisa Tana, Kigozo was like a pigeon. Ben Shana, 1-year-old pigeon. Mishkal Shnei Litrin, the weight of 2 litrin. That's how big this gnat had grown, this Yitush had grown inside his brain. Amar Abaye said, and in addition, Naktina, we have a Mesorah that piv shel nechoshes, that the mouth of this gnat was made out of copper, it's ibarnav, and its nails shel barz, were made out of iron. In other words, it was mice and nizim here through and through. In any event, ki havakol mayis, when Titus was about to die, Amalu, he said to everybody around him, liklayuha laugaber, go and cremate me, levadre lekitme ashev yame, and go and take my ashes after you cremate me and spread them out over the seven seas, the lo lashkiche elachka liudai, so that the Jewish God shouldn't find me, the lo medina, and be able to judge me. Now, as an aside over here to this, Unkelus bar Klonikos. This is the famous Unkelus of Targum Unkelus. He was the son of Klonikos, who was bar Achse de Titus, who was the Klonikos, was the brother-in-law of Titus. Klonikos had married Titus's sister, and they had a son. Klonikos and Titus's sister had a son, Unkelus, the famous Targum Unkelus, Unkelus. And he was the nephew of Titus of Russia. Now, Havaboyeli Guyori, he wanted to become, as Gemara Avodah Zarah tells us, he in fact did become a Ger Tzedek, and he became Unkelus, the great Unkelus. So he asked his uncle, Titus, what should I do? Should I become a Yid? Havaboyeli Guyori, I want to go and convert. Is it a good idea? Ozel Askele Titus ben Negida. So Titus is already dead. So he raised Titus through black magic. Negida, Rashi tells us, is through necromancy, through this black magic. And this is the Ov type of divination, Rashi tells us. And Amalei, so Titus asks him, Man choshev al-Ova, in the world that you're in, who is considered important? So Amalei, so Titus tells him that in this world, Yisrael, the Jews are important. No, he asks him, Ma li buke buhu, should I go and become a Jew? Amalei, Titus said, no way. Milayu nefishin, v'lamotz is the community. There are many, many rules, many, many dinim, and you'll never be able to keep them all. Better for you, Zil Igori Bahu, go and attack the Jewish people, Bahu Alma, in that world, and at least you'll be a king over there. As we pointed out, you need a king to destroy the Jewish people. That is why you should be a big, important person in that world, because you're never going to be able to become Jewish because there's too many rules. The Siv, Hayu Tzarela Rosh Vagomer, as we point out from Eicha, that whoever fights the Jewish people will be a Rosh. Call him Eitzel Yisrael, Nasir Rosh. Fine. So Unkelus tells him, Nu, what are you doing now? Amalei, Dine Dao Gabra Bemai, how are you being judged in the next world? So Amalei, Titus answers him, and Titus answers him as we turn to Nun Zayin with Aleph. He said, that which exactly which I said, that I should be burned, and my ashes spread out over the seven seas, that's exactly what they're doing to me. I thought I could escape HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment. That's exactly what they're doing to me. Call Yoma every day, they go and collect my ashes, and they judge me, and then they burn me again. And then they burn me again, and they send my ashes all over the seven seas. The next day they do the same thing over and over again. No, while Unkelus is going to bring up people through black magic, through the old magic, also aski le Bilam ben Gida. So he goes and brings up Bilam through this black magic. Amalei, yes, Bilam. Man choshev al-Avo, who's important in that world? Amalei, so Bilam tells him, he saw, of course the Jews are. Malu bukibu, so Unkelus says, should I become a Yid? Amalei says, lo sidro shlomam, don't have anything to do with them, neither good or bad. Lo sidro shlomam, v'tovasam call him in. Better not to have anything to do with them. Amalei, Unkelus says to Bilam, nu, what's your judgment? Dine da'u gabu b'mai, how are you being judged? Amalei, b'shichva zera u'sachas, I'm being judged every day in boiling zera, in boiling semen. And the bottom, it tells us he had a tremendous love for women. Chomer, Ahavas Nashim, he was a very immoral person. Yosef, he died much more than is appropriate. And therefore, that's why the Zera, so to say, destroyed his body. And that's why, Kadiyachal, he's being burned every day in Shekho Zera Osachas. Then Unkelus goes, Azal Askei Benigida, he goes to bring us to this black magic of the Ov, the Posh Yisrael. Now this sounds like it's referring to a specific person. And in the sense of Gemara's, it was taken out. But, and if you look in the Chisron HaSashas, it tells us he brought up Yeshu HaNotzri. He brings up Yoshka. Azal Aski B'Negid, L'Poshi Yisrael. Yeshu HaNotzri. He goes and brings him up. And I'm like, yes, who do you think is important in that world? I'm like, of course, the Yidden, Yisrael. Malu Bukibu, should I go and join them? Should I become a Ger? I'm like, so Yeshu HaNotzri tells Unkelus, Tov Lassam Drosh, Lassam Osi Drosh. Yes, go and be with them for anything you can do them good. Don't do anything bad to them, because called Ogeh Behem, anybody that goes and attacks the Jewish people, Kilo Ogeh Bavaz Eno, it's like poking himself in the eye. Amalei, so Unkelus asks, Yeshu HaNotzri, Dine Dao Gavu B'mai, what are you being judged in that world? So Amalei tells him, Bitzor Osachas, I'm being judged in boiling excrement every day. In the bottom of the Gemara, it tells us, V'dino Bitzor Osachas, Choma, Mitzo Oso Lo Rochats, Mitzo Oso Lo Nitar. He's never going to be able to clean himself from what he did. He's never going to be able to become tar. He'll be there forever in that situation. And this Tzohar Ruch Tzachas is the perfect punishment for the Amar Mar, Chol HaMalik, Yadivri Chachamim, whoever makes one of the Chachamim, Edom Mitzor Sachas will be judged with this burning hot excrement. Our conclusion says, look at the difference. Tochasi, Mabe Poshi Yisrael, look at the difference between Yeshua and Notri, the Nvi Umas Olam of the Avodah Zarah, and Bilam, who's at Russia. Tanim, the price says, Amar Rilozo, Allah says, Bore Kama Gidolo Kokosha Busha, look at the how bad Busha can be. That caused the whole thing for Kamsa Bakamsa, Risiya Kodesh Baruch Hu as Bakamsa. Kodesh Baruch Hu helped Bakamsa to do this entire episode that led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. A very long Shia, but an unbelievable, powerful Shia. And Mitzvah Shem, we should be Zocha to learn from it, and this year have Tisha B'Av be a Moed. Have a wonderful day.